Manche Kopa Tubius Cha, Pipusin Bayibucha, Petitanam Pabinabio, Vaishnavabio Namonama. This is chapter 25, right at the beginning of the third canto. We've heard how, or of Kapila Muni's birth, and then amazingly enough, Kardama Muni, his father, left. He left the home to search out the Lord while the Lord was still within his home. How is that possible? A wonderful answer is given by Srila Prabhupada in his purport. But yet we can ultimately understand. And what was that wonderful answer, by the way? Anyone remember? Why did Kardama Muni leave home to search out God when that Lord was within his home, had advented himself within his home? You remember? Yes. He had to leave hearth and home, the comforts of family life, because the Vedas insist that the Brahmins renounce everything. But ultimately we can see also that this is Krishna's plan, because Devahuti, Mother Devahuti, is going to be bereft of her husband, Kardama Muni, who she served so fully, although the wife of a princess. And she is going to be fully bereft of that and take shelter of her son, who is Kapila Muni, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the first text, Shonaka Uvacha, Shonaka Rishi says, Kapilas Tattva Sankyata Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. So Kapila Muni had advented himself to explain this Sankhya Tattva, or this path of Sankhya Yoga, which is a combination of Bhakti Yoga, and that is really the heart of the path, and also Astanga or mystic yoga with Gyan mixed in it. So all these three parts are elements of this Sankhya yoga that Kapila Muni has come to teach. Tatra Sankhyata Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. And he came, this Lord, the Lord came by his own potency. Jata Sayam Aja Shakshad Atma Pragyataye Minam. So he came to disseminate this transcendental knowledge of Sankhya. What does Sankhya mean, literally? Number or counting, to count. So the elements are going to be counted, which is more the Gyan side of his teachings. He's going to go through all the different elements of material nature to separate out the soul and the source of all the elements, so that that soul can understand that he is not of the material world. This is such a big step for the soul, because in illusion we all identify with what? This isn't a very hard question. What do we identify with? The body. And if we're not identifying so much with the body, we're identifying with the mind, walking around in the clouds, bumping into walls, and tree branches and things. I tend to do that one. But no, we're neither of these things. All the thoughts that we have regarding the body, regarding I like this, I don't like this, I feel that, they have nothing generally to do with us. We're completely different. So how to realize that, Kapila Muni is going to teach. So he, although unborn, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took birth as Kapila Muni by his internal potency. He didn't come forced by the material energy. We just somehow appear in a family and we're not even conscious of ourselves, practically speaking, and suddenly when we're somewhere in the early teens or late teens, we suddenly become conscious of here I am and I'm an individual. How did we get in this particular body in this situation? This is all arranged by the material energy, Krishna's Maya Shakti, Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Suyate Satcharacharam. But Kapila Muni didn't come like this. He came by his internal potency. He descended to disseminate transcendental knowledge for the benefit of the whole human race. So the human race or human beings should take advantage of this. So that includes us. So we should listen very carefully and understand his teachings. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport here, the first paragraph. The word Atma Pragyaptaye indicates that the Lord descends for the benefit of the human race to give transcendental knowledge. Material necessities are quite sufficiently provided for in the Vedic knowledge, which offers a program for good living and gradual elevation to the platform of goodness. So what's the program that's offered by the Vedic knowledge? Without looking. Isn't it hard to listen actually and remember and actually to sink in? Why? Why is it hard? I can tell you why it's hard for me, but why is it hard? Yes, you have to pay attention. And what's hard about that? The senses are under control. And what's number one amongst the senses that's under control that makes the other senses look easy to control? The mind. The mind doesn't want to be controlled. And this is one of the main points that's going to come out. The mind is the center of our material existence. It wants. What does it want? It can want one thing one moment and the exact opposite the next. But it wants. It wants icha dvesha samutena. It wants to pull something or to push something. Icha dvesha. Dvanva mohena bharata. And that being caught between the desire, the pushing and pullings of the mind, the accepting and the rejecting of the mind, that is what traps us in the illusion of the material world. So therefore what? What's the next statement? What? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We have to neglect the mind on one side and all its very important missions that it takes up one moment after the next. The angers, the hatreds, the I wants, one moment after the next. And it has to be neglected and placed in its actual position of servitude or attraction to Krishna. Bandurat matmayat maya. What's the... Anyone know that verse? When one has conquered his mind, it is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his very mind is the worst of enemies. Because the friendly mind is attached to Krishna. It's fixed in... surrender. It's fixed in accepting what's good for Krishna consciousness and fixed in rejecting what's bad. That is a friend of a mind. So the Lord descends for the benefit of the human race to give transcendental knowledge. Now everyone's mind, I'm sure, was very friendly there. Why does the Lord descend? Without looking.
For giving transcendental knowledge.
Yeah. For whose benefit?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing that we can hear, we can actually pay attention, but it's so hard because the mind wants to go out the window. Out the window, out the door, and to be gone forevermore. Next sentence. I might even ask you what it is after I read it. Material necessities are quite sufficiently provided for in the Vedic knowledge, which offers a program for good living and good living conditions and gradual elevation to the platform of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one's knowledge expands. Why do we avoid the mode of passion and ignorance? Because it contracts, it makes our knowledge smaller. And goodness, on the other hand, expands our knowledge up to the point of understanding, perceiving that this body is not me. That is the product, the benefit of sattva-gun. Sattvat sanjayate jnana. It brings jnanam. It brings knowledge naturally, easily, effortlessly. What brings knowledge naturally and easily and effortlessly?
Goodness.
Yeah. On the platform of passion, there is no knowledge. What's there in passion? Desire, desire. I want, I want, I want, I want. For passion is simply an impetus to enjoy material benefits. On the platform of ignorance, there is no knowledge and no enjoyment, but simply life almost like that of animals. And modern civilization, or Prabhupada would generally say modern so-called civilization, is generally in passion and ignorance. These are the values that are being engendered within the population, passion and ignorance, passion and ignorance. Because the goal of modern civilization is economic development and sense gratification. And in the Vedic culture, much more in the mode of goodness. And the goal, of course, is elevation, spiritual elevation. So this is the goal of life, to at least move forward. Human life is meant to accumulate transcendental knowledge and move forward in spiritual life, and ideally to attain fully the lotus feet of C.C. Radhan Krishna. Second text. Shonaka continued, There is no one who knows more than the Lord Himself. So He's come to give transcendental knowledge. And what are His qualifications? He's the Lord. And no one knows more than Him. No one is more worshipable or even more mature a yogi than He. He is therefore the master of the Vedas. And to hear about Him always is the actual pleasure of the senses. What do you think about that? To hear about Him always is the actual pleasure of the senses. What do you think about that? Right? Yes, good. Anyone else have any thoughts about that point? To hear about Him always is the actual pleasure of the senses. Agreed? Can you do it? Huh? Yeah. Here's something that Prabhupada said on something quite similar to this point. Let's see if the contraption works. It's in 1967. This is something Prabhupada said. And the recording is a little bit poor, but please listen. Quite nice. Bengali speaking.
In this way, the Supreme Lord, Krishna,
can you hear?
Plenary expansion is the unlimited activity.
The Supreme, can you hear? The Supreme, no? Narayani Mataji, can you hear? The Supreme Lord, by His plenary expansion, has unlimited activities.
So, for a living entity, a small living entity like us, we cannot know. The only thing is that, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that Satatam Ki Santam Ma Yatantasya Virabhyata Sushyantita Ramanti. The subject matter is so nice that the devotees who are engaged in Krishna's consciousness.
The subject matter is so nice. Krishna is unlimited, but the subject matter is so nice that the devotees who are engaged in Krishna consciousness,
the transcendental loving service, they like, and in the association of pure devotees,
In the association of pure devotees, these topics become very palatable.
In the sanskrit, in the Bhagavad also, and Saunakadi Rishi, headed by Saunakuni, was hearing some of the Bhagavatam from Sudarshan.
Could you hear that? Yeah.
Mayantana Vitipyama, you are reciting along the glories of the Supreme Lord, His activities. So please continue. We are not yet satisfied. The subject matter is so nice that we want to more and more. Sadhu, sadhu, come and come. As we go on hearing, and as we become purified, there is a very practical example. Sugar candy is by nature, it is very sweet. But if you give it to a patient who is jaundice, if you give it in cases, that he will say that it is bitter. It is bitter. He will add practical example. So if you ask me what is the taste, he will say bitter. Now everyone knows the sugar candy is very sweet, but if you give to a patient suffering from jaundice, he will say it is bitter. Similarly, the Krishna Katha, the Lord's name, fame, quality, entourage, all these things are very sweet to home, those who are liberated from this jaundice of materialism. For them it is very sweet. So, as you feel sweetness of this Krishna Katha, you should know that you are becoming liberated from this material entanglement. The same thing. Sugar candy is the only medicine for jaundice. Those who are suffering from jaundice, they are prescribed by physician to take sugar candy water in the morning. By drinking that sugar candy water, gradually he feels the sweetness of sugar candy. That is the taste that he is getting free from the disease. So, similarly, or Srimad Bhagavatam, or anything where the topics of the Supreme Personality of God is discussed, if you feel it is interesting, that means you are getting out of this jaundice or this material disease. Yes. This is the test. if you don't feel interesting, then you must know that the jaundice or material disease is there. So this is the test. So the more you feel Krishna Katha, the topics of Krishna, tasteful, the more you know that you are getting free from the jaundice and material disease. Eh?
The more that we feel or attached or attracted to Krishna Katha, the more that is an indication that our material disease is being destroyed and we are becoming liberated. And although Prabhupada didn't speak on the other side, on this particular lecture, but the more we are becoming attached to material things, it means that our material life is increasing, we're becoming more entangled. So Shonaka Rishi said this, and Prabhupada's purport to the second text in the second paragraph says, to hear from Krishna is the real pleasure of the senses. Therefore he is known as Govinda, for by his words, by his teachings, by his instructions, by everything connected with him, he enlivens the senses. Whatever he instructs is from the transcendental platform, and his instructions, being absolute, are none different from him. Hearing from Krishna, or his expansion or plenary expansion like Kapila, is very pleasing to the senses. Bhagavad Gita can be read or heard many times, but because it gives great pleasure, the more one reads Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets the appetite to read and understand it. And each time he gets new enlightenment. That is the nature of the transcendental message. Similarly, we find that transcendental happiness in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the more we become happy. Text 3. Shonaka Rishi continues speaking to whom? Suti Goswami. Therefore, he says, please precisely describe all the activities and pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is full of self-desire. We'll ask about what that word means in a moment. The personality of Godhead, who is full of self-desire, and who assumes all these activities by his internal potency. So in this text, the word anukirtaya is described, and Prabhupada speaks on this word in his short purport to describe, please tell us what you have heard following in the disciplic succession. So what does this mean that the Lord, Lord Krishna, Lord Kapila Dev, he's full of self-desire, and he assumes all his activities by his internal potency. What does that mean, that he's full of self-desire? Swa self chanda atma. Atma self. What does chanda mean in this? Damien, Prabhu, chanda, are you familiar with that
desire.
Word? Desire. So his own, the desires of his self are what happens. What is the significance of that?
Means he has individual identity.
Yes. Certainly. Yes. He meditated on him. In Dwarka. True. The little. Yeah, that's interesting. For his own pleasure, he's created the living entities. But what does it have to do with this particular verse? That he's come completely independent. This is so incredible. That means that everything that he does, everything he says, he's doing it because he wants to. For what reason? Because he wants to, whether it's his compassion or his mercy. There is no touch or tinge of the external energy. Sambhava Yatma Mayaya. He comes and is dealing only with his internal energy when he's in this world. So he's done this. He's come. He's full of self-desire. And he performs activities and pastimes. He performs activities and pastimes by the activities of his internal potency. And it said in the first verse that he's come to disseminate transcendental knowledge for the human, for the benefit of the human race. So therefore, let us listen very carefully to what he wants to tell us out of his... He has no other motivation other than to benefit us by giving this transcendental knowledge. So let us listen. And we're not going to hear any of his exact words today, but this is all introduction to his teachings of the Sankhya Tattva. So Sutta Goswami begins his reply in text 4. The most powerful sage Maitreya was a friend of Vyasadeva, because Maitreya Muni is speaking to Vidura and Sutta is telling about the conversation that Vidura and Maitreya had. Where was that? Did that conversation take place?
Haridwar.
Is there a place that's known there where the speaking conversation took place? Does anyone know? Is there a particular location in Haridwar? I don't know. You know? Does he know? Okay. Could you look in the book? Someone could look in the book. So being encouraged and pleased by Vidura's inquiry about transcendental knowledge, Vidura actually hasn't spoken for a while, and his last questions were about the descendants, the progeny of Swayambhuva Manu. He wants to know. He pulls it from him. It's like his desire, his humble desire, is pulling from Maitreya Muni and encouraging him this transcendental knowledge. And therefore Maitreya spoke as follows. We'll read Prabhupada's short purport here. Questions and answers are very satisfactorily dealt with when the inquirer is bona fide. What does it mean to be a bona fide inquirer? Sincerely wants to know, humble, submissively. And the speaker is also authorized. What does it mean to be an authorized speaker? Kirtanya Anukirtaya. He's repeating. He himself is pure and he's repeating what he has heard. Here Maitreya is considered a powerful sage, and therefore he's also described as Bhagwan. This word can be used not only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but for anyone who is almost as powerful as the Supreme Lord. Maitreya is addressed as Bhagawan because he was spiritually far advanced. He was a personal friend of Dwapayan Vyasadeva, a literary incarnation of the Lord. Maitreya, there's a saying in English, a man is known by the company he keeps. So his company, his friendship was with Vyasadeva. Maitreya was very pleased with the inquiries of Vidura because they were the inquiries of a bona fide advanced devotee. Thus Maitreya was encouraged to answer. When there are discourses on transcendental topics between devotees of equal mentality, the questions and answers are very fruitful and encouraging. So here is Maitreya's speaking now. When Kardama left for the forest, Lord Kapila stayed on in the strand of the Bindu Sarova to please his mother, Devahuti. Proper short purport here. In the absence of the father, it is the duty of the grown son to take charge of his mother and serve her to the best of his ability, so that she will not feel separation from her husband. And it is the duty of the husband to leave home as soon as there is a grown son to take charge of his wife and family affairs. That is the Vedic system of household life. One should not remain continually implicated in household affairs up till the time of death. Family, he must leave. Family affairs and the wife may be taken charge of by the grown son. 6. When Kapila, who could show her the ultimate goal of the absolute truth, was sitting leisurely before her, Devahuti remembered the words of Brahma, the words Brahma had spoken to her, and she therefore began to question Kapila as follows. So in chapter 24, in the previous chapter, when Brahma and the sages, his sons, the sages, had heard about the birth of Kapila Muni, they came to the hermitage of Kardama Muni. And Brahma, in text 18, that's 324:18, he said to Devahuti, "My dear daughter of Manu, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who killed the demon Kaitaba is now within your womb. He will cut off all the knots of your ignorance and doubts. Then he will travel all over the world." So she remembered the words of Brahma. And with Kapila Muni sitting before her, he began to speak to her. She began to speak to him. She began to question Kapila as follows. Devahuti said, now, this is what makes her a proper bona fide questioner, or one of her characteristics. She said, "I am very sick of the disturbance caused by my material senses. For because of this sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. Your lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance, because you are my transcendental eye, which by your mercy only I have attained after many, many births. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin and Supreme Lord of all living entities. You have arisen to disseminate the rays of the sun in order to dissipate the darkness of the ignorance of the universe." And then in text 10, she's going to ask a question. So especially in 7 and 8, especially in 7, she's going to describe, or she has described, a very important qualification for a bona fide inquirer about transcendental knowledge. "I am very sick of the disturbance," she says, "caused by my material senses. And because of this sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance." What is the abyss of ignorance? The abyss is basically one wants to enjoy the senses because they're agitated and disturbed. And because of that identification through the mind with the senses, one thinks oneself the body. And when one thinks one is the body, one is in ignorance. And the result of falling in this abyss, this deep hole, this dark well of ignorance, is death. There is no death for the soul. Ajo nityam shashvatoyam parana nahanyate hanyamane shunya. There is no death for the soul. But because of the identification with the body, caused by the agitation of the senses and the mind's holding on to that identification with it, we die. We experience death, although for us there is no death. So much suffering comes from the identification with the mind, and therefore through that the identification with the senses. So much suffering. So this qualification, this primary qualification that she has is, I don't want to suffer this anymore. I don't want to enjoy my senses anymore. I want to get out of this ignorance. Because as long as one wants to stay in the material world and enjoy the material world, there's no question of spiritual life based on transcendental knowledge, based on the eternal soul, based on ourselves. Therefore, as I have mentioned already, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura said that one who has given up the ambition or desire to enjoy in this world has taken the greatest step forward in his spiritual life. Because the two, spiritual life and material enjoyment, simply do not go well together. Even though the Vedic culture gives facility for a satisfactory condition of material life, that is not the goal of the Vedic culture. It gives a facility for what purpose? That was the sentence we read. What is the purpose? What did it say specifically? To goodness, yes. To the mode of goodness. Because from goodness, detachment arises in knowledge. For goodness, to raise one to the platform of goodness. But not to think that process, those things that raise us, are the goal. Veda Vadarata. And that's not the goal. The goal is what? Krishna? Krishna is the goal? What does that mean? That we become Krishna? Yeah. Loving service. Prema Pamarto. Parama Arta. This is the goal. Mahan, this is the goal. This is the goal of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. This is the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the goal of human life. To elevate the sincere transcendentalists who are sick of their attempt, after having tried to enjoy in the material world, the senses and the mind, hundreds and thousands of times, and have gotten the kicks of material existence hundreds and thousands of times, then no, I'm finished. No more, despite the fact that my senses may be agitated, despite the fact that my mind may be agitated. No, this is not my goal. Tam ditikshasva bharata. Interesting though, that when Prabhupada once was coming from Australia or New Zealand to India, and he stopped in Thailand, in Bangkok, and he commented there that the people there are too poor to take to Krishna consciousness. So how does that fit in with what I just said? In one sense, if one was poor, there's less facility for material sense enjoyment, because poor means lack of money, basically. So if you don't have money, you can't enjoy, because there's no power, no shakti to enjoy. You can't move the material energy the way you want. So one would think that one in a poverty-stricken condition is in a very good condition to advance in spiritual life, to take up Krishna consciousness, because he can't enjoy the material world. But that's not how it works. Because it's not no more than suffering. Suffering in the material world doesn't cause advancement either, any more than poverty causes advancement. Because the desire has to be there that, no, I don't want this. And for most people, When they suffer, they want the alleviation of suffering. And when most people are poor, the last thing they want is spiritual life. They want wealth. And then they think, then if I'm wealthy, then I can give it up. But how can I give it up? Unless I have it, unless I've tasted it. The mind becomes attached to that. Even though people may know better even. It's very rare that someone who's actually poverty stricken will not have in the core of his heart the desire for money. And it's very rare that the person who is suffering is so advanced that he can say, this is Krishna's mercy. Whatever you give me, Krishna, I'll take. This is very rare. That's why it gives us this type of thinking, gives us makes us eligible for the kingdom of God. It's very rare and hard to do. Why? Because the mind won't accept it. Not it won't, it refuses to. It won't accept it. Unless one is very spiritually advanced. Very spiritually advanced. But if one somehow does come to that conclusion through association, through Shastra, through the Bhagavatam, through sadhus, through the Bhagavad Gita, that no, whatever attempts I have made about, I have read about, the attempt to enjoy, to get wealth, they cannot end in satisfaction for the soul. Therefore, with the strength of my intelligence and my spiritual advancement, I say, no, I don't want this. No, no. I want something more wonderful. More wonderful that has a sweet, the sweetest of all tastes. I want to taste the sweetness of the service of Krishna. I have stood in front of Krishna, Balaram, Ralishama, Sundar. I have, by their mercy, I have been in Vrindavan. I've tasted something of the sweetness. I want that seed to grow in my heart, despite all the other desires that may have parked in my mind. No. They will not bring me satisfaction. Therefore, Mahaprabhu, when asked about the behavior of a Vaishnava, he said, a satsanga tyag, a Vaishnava char. Because by association with non-devotees, material desires become planted within the heart. And a devotee, he doesn't want that. Why? Because he's had enough, like Devahuti says, I've had enough, I've had enough. I don't want to go in that direction, and I so much don't want to go, I'm willing to do anything required to have more material desires planted in my heart. I want spiritual desires planted in my heart. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastroi. I want spiritual desires to flourish in my heart. I want the desires to serve Krishna to flourish in my heart, not the opposite. And I'll do whatever is required to make that flourish and let the others die of neglect and lack of watering by attention. That devotee who's so really seriously fixed like that, so surrendered. Anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya varjanam, accepting what's favorable and rejecting what's unfavorable. That devotee will actually make advancement very quickly, and Krishna will hear his prayers. Prabhupada's, we'll read a little of Prabhupada's purport to 7. External sensory activities are called eternal sensory activities are called devotional service, whereas temporary sensory activities are called sense gratification. Unless one becomes tired of material sense gratification, there is no opportunity to hear transcendental messages from persons like Kapila. Devahuti expressed that she was tired. She'd had enough. Now that her husband had left home, she wanted to get relief by hearing the instructions of Lord Kapila. Your lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkness region of ignorance. So she doesn't want that, and she has taken shelter of someone with the capacity to bring her out. Because you are my transcendental eye. You're just like this. The sun is Krishna's eye. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, it says that. The sun is Krishna's eye, because without that eye, the eye of the sun, without Krishna's, the eye that Krishna has given us, this eye has no value. We cannot see without sunlight. Even though we may have the eye, without the light that the sun provides, our eye is useless. Our eye is a dependent eye. So similarly, she's saying, for my spiritual vision, you are my transcendental eye, because I cannot see without you giving me this transcendental knowledge, which by your mercy only have attained after many, many births. Prabhupada's purport speaks about the spiritual master, one spiritual master being the eye through which we can see. He says this verse is very instructive, since it indicates the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. The disciple or conditioned soul is put into this darkest region of ignorance, and therefore is entangled in material existence of sense gratification. It is very difficult to get out of this entanglement and attain freedom. So difficult. So entangled, and Maya will take whatever you try to use to get out, and she'll try to use that very same thing to entangle you within the material world. Maya is very, very tricky. Why? Because it's empowered by Krishna to do this. It's empowered to confound every single one of our attempts to get out, to complicate things, to turn it. It is very difficult to get out of this entanglement and attain freedom. But if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a spiritual master like Kapila Muni, or his representative, then by his grace one can be delivered from the mire of ignorance. The spiritual master is therefore worshipped as one who delivers the disciple from the mire of ignorance with the light of the torch of knowledge. What's the famous verse? Chaksus anmilitan jena tasmai sri gurave namah. The word paragam is very significant. Paragam refers to one paragam crossing over in the word by words. Paragam, crossing over, refers to one who can take the disciple to the other side. The other side of what? Material existence to the spiritual world. From the world of birth and death to the world of eternal life. To the other side. The world of darkness to the world of light. To the world of illusion, based on the false ego that I am the center of everything, to the world of true ego, which means Jivera Srupoi, Krishna Nirti Das, I am Krishna's servant, Krishna's loving servant, not paid servant or forced servant, but I am serving Krishna out of love, out of affection. He is the center of the spiritual world. That, and only that, is the reason why we are here and not there. Because we cannot accept at this point that he is the center and that everything is centered around him. And soon as that little problem is removed, that's all it takes. Little problem, minor adjustment, and that adjustment is the changing from illusion to reality. This side is conditioned life, the other side is the life of freedom, Prabhupada says. The spiritual master takes the disciple to the other side by opening his eyes with knowledge. We are suffering simply because of ignorance. By the instruction of the spiritual master, the darkness of ignorance is removed, and thus the disciple is enabled to go to the side of freedom. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that after many, many births, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, if after many, many births, one is able to find a bona fide spiritual master and surrender to such a bona fide representative of Krishna, one can be taken to the side of light. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasare Vahim Bhakti Latavi. So one comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. By the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. Combined mercy. And it's interesting that Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. What is that Bhakti Lata Beej? Yeah, what is that? Shraddha, it is said. And also, there's another interesting definition. Huh? Yes. Taste, yes. A taste that's not of this world. When somehow or another that enters our heart. And Prabhupada has also described the Bhakti Lata Beej also as the process of watering that. So once one gets that taste, it is just a matter of time before the seed fructifies and takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Or another way of saying it, in a simple way, is sincerity. I want to serve Krishna. I don't want to be in this world. That's what David, I don't want to imagine myself as the center of existence. Then if one has some sincerity, then by Krishna's arrangement, then one will come into the right association. She continues, text 9. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin and Supreme Lord of all living entities. You have arisen to disseminate the rays of the sun in order to dissipate the darkness of the ignorance of the universe. Same point made in the first verse. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, false identification with who I am as the body, I have been engaged by your maya, and I have identified myself with the body in consequent bodily relations. Prabhupada's purport will read just from the last part of this, sort of in the middle rather. The Lord is merciful. You find that where those who are following along the books, you see where that is? The Lord is merciful. So she's taking shelter of him. The Lord is merciful. If anyone wants to forget him and enjoy this material world, he gives him full facility. Not directly, but through the agency of his material potency. Therefore, since the material potency is the Lord's energy, indirectly it is said that the Lord it is said the Lord who gives the facility to forget him. Devahuti therefore said, my engagement in sense gratification was also due to you. Now kindly get me free from this entanglement. She's acknowledging, in other words, that she herself doesn't have the capacity by her own power to get out. She's taking shelter. By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world for as long as we like. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, and when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. Krishna says, therefore in Bhagavad Gita, first of all, surrender, and then I will take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activities. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. Such a heavy definition of what a sinful activity is. Any activity done with ourself in the center is sinful, in the sense that it will further entangle us within the material world. There are other definitions of pap and punya, of what is pious, of what is impious or sinful, or what is auspicious and inauspicious. But this is the ultimate definition. That activity that is self-centered, based on the false ego, I am the center of existence, selfish, whether it's pious or impious, it is impious in the sense of it will entangle us in the material world. So if one surrenders unto Krishna, all this entanglement is finished. But then what happens when one realizes after so many endeavors that I've tried by my own power to get out, to free myself, and it hasn't worked? Then one has the capacity to surrender. There's a wonderful verse in the 16th chapter of the 10th canto. Does anyone know what chapter that is, the 16th? What's discussed in that chapter? All the people pulling out their folios now and looking. You're not allowed to do that. Oh. No, I know what it is. It's about Kaliya. The snake, the serpent Kaliya. And after Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he represents what anarta? Anyone know? Ignorance. Deep ignorance. Envy is really deepest of ignorances. So after he is trampled on, and after his wives pray to Krishna, he realizes who Krishna is, and he himself surrenders to Krishna. And he offers a few prayers, not very many, but one of them is Vayam Chattva Bhagavan Sarpa Jati Rumanyava, that look at our position, Krishna, my dear Krishna, O Supreme Lord. I am Sarpa Jati. I am born in the family of a serpent. So what hope is there for me by my own power to get out of the material world? This serpent's body is full of Urumanyava, it is full of anger. Such ignorance, such envy, Sarpa Jati Rumanyava, Katam Chajasam Tanmayam. How can I give up my position in Maya by my own power? Katam Chajasam Tanmayam Dischajam Mohinam Sritam. This is your Maya. Look at my position, sarpa jati. When anyone sees a serpent, there's two things that naturally one experiences. One immediately experiences, what's the first thing?
Fear.
And then? Death for who? Just imagine having a body that everywhere you want, where you go, what do the people want to do? Kill you immediately. Just imagine having a body that people, as soon as they see you, they want to kill you. So he says, I'm Sarvajati. What hope do I have? Unless you withdraw this Maya, because this Maya is your Maya. So unless you're merciful to me, what hope do I have? So this is, I found this a very good prayer. What hope do we have? Because every country, every birth in every country, in every body, in every form, has so many problems attached to it. So much, especially in Kali Yuga. So what hope do we have unless we pray like Devahuti or just praying? Text 11. I have taken shelter of your lotus feet because you are the only person of whom to take shelter. You are the axe which can cut the tree of material existence. I therefore offer my obeisances to you, who are the greatest of all transcendentalists, and I inquire from you as to the relationship between man and woman and between spirit and matter, between Prakriti and Purusha, between that which is to be enjoyed and that which is the enjoyer. And there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Purusha Prakriti Stohi. Anyone know this verse? No? Purusha Prakriti Stohi. That the Purusha, actually we're all Prakriti. We're all feminine in relationship to Krishna. We're all to be enjoyed by Krishna. We're Krishna's energy. We are not Purusha. No one. Male or female. This is what Prabhupada will explain in the purport. Everyone is Prakriti, but everyone is thinking themselves Purusha, the enjoyer, whether in a male body or a female body. So Purusha Prakriti Stohi, this living entity, conditioned soul situated in Prakriti. Bhungte Prakriti Janaya, trying his best to enjoy those things produced of the material energy. Karanam Guna Sangasya. So because of that tendency, that mood of I am the enjoyer, he becomes Karanam Guna Sangasya. He becomes caught by these gunas. He gains the association of the gunas, just like a criminal gains the association of the prison guards and the bars of the prison. And what is the result of that? Sarasat Joni Janmasu, birth and death and birth and death. In one womb after another one is placed. We'll read the second paragraph of Prabhupada's purport, or some of it. Devahuti questions Kapila Muni, for she knows that only he could cut her attachment to this material world. The living entities in the guises of men and women are trying to enjoy the material energy. Therefore, in one sense, everyone is Purusha, because Purusha means enjoyer and Prakriti means enjoyed. In this material world, both the so-called man and so-called woman are imitating the real Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The real Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is actually the enjoyer of the transcendental senses, whereas all others are prakriti. The living entities are considered prakriti. In Bhagavad Gita, matter is analyzed as apara, or inferior nature, whereas beyond this inferior nature, there is another superior nature, the living entities. Living entities are also prakriti, or enjoyed, but under the spell of maya, the living entities are falsely trying to take the position of enjoyers. That is the cause of samsara bandha, or conditional life. Devahuti wanted to get out of conditional life and place herself in full surrender. The Lord is Saranya, which means the only worthy personality to whom one can fully surrender, because he is full of all opulences. If anyone actually wants relief, the best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the final verse today, Maitreya said, this is all the verses prior to Kapila Muni's first verse, words, and on Monday, Krishna willing, we shall hear what he has to say, or the beginnings of his teachings. So after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, means this is really and only what she desired. I desire to be a devotee, but I have so many other desires hidden in the core of my heart as well. But her situation was different. It was uncontaminated, pure, anya abhilasita sunyam, no other abhilas, no other desires, just to advance in spiritual life. The Lord thanked her after hearing her request. He thanked her within himself for her questions, and thus, his face smiling, he explained the path of the transcendentalists who are interested in self-realization. And we'll read just the last line of Prabhupada's purport. Satam gati, the path of the eternal, is very interesting to persons who are after liberation. And his lordship Kapila began to speak about that path. There are so many paths in this world. Most people are interested in the path of enjoyment. It is very rare that someone is seriously interested in the path of transcendence. The path of service to Krishna is the path of pure devotional service is the most rare path, actually. It is the most difficult and most easy also. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the simple method in Kali Yuga of chanting Krishna's names, purify the heart, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, and living in a holy place. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Which is quoted in the Gita, it's a long verse. It says that I've been serving my senses dutifully.
Where is it quoted?
In Bhagavad.
Oh, in the purport, one of Prabhupada's purport.
I've been serving my senses diligently, very faithfully, and I never escaped in the Gita. I think it applies to everyone.
And therefore, again, what's
and
the rest of it?
Now that I've met Murari or Krishna, it goes like this.
Yep.
Then I feel that I can now discard my attention towards my senses. Because you never see the devil with me. So now Krishna is making this.
They're not very kind masters. They just demand more and more and more. The more one gives the senses attention, the more they want. Of course. This is all our teachings. But I would like to make one point. This is part of the answer to this. Is that Prabhupada also said sense enjoyment is like, anyone know?
Salt.
Why? What is the meaning of that? Sense enjoyment is like salt. Huh?
You need a little salt, but if you put too much, then you're
thinking. Yeah.
Little salt.
So what is the purport of that? So you couldn't hear that, I presume. You could or couldn't. That in that same section, where is it? What section is that? Where? Well, we've narrowed it down to 30 some odd chapters. But Prabhupada said, probably was saying, that therefore, because sense gratification is required, if you have no salt, things are tasteless, and if you have too much, it doesn't work either. So therefore we have to be regulated by the Vedic injunctions. That was the point that you were making. That, yes? Anyone else like to comment on this salt, the salt principle? In what sense is too little too bad? Can we overuse that and take advantage of it? Certainly. But the result will be problematic for us. And we have to, like the great exalted devotees of the Goswamis, they didn't eat, they didn't sleep, they had no possessions. On the material level, Prabhupada was fond of saying that they would sleep under a different tree every night, they had no fixed residence, piece of cloth, and that's all. Raghunath Das Goswami would drink one leaf cup full of buttermilk every day, practically no sense gratification. But how were they able to do that? Because they had captured the lotus feet of Murari. They were fixed so deeply in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna that this world was really pale, had no attraction for them. Their heart, their desires, their mind were only there. That cannot be imitated. That cannot be imitated. Because what will happen is we try on the strength of a sentiment or a desire, I want to be like this, and we try, and then what happens is the senses and the mind will overpower us. And so many devotees this has happened to, they try to be more than they are, and then boom, and then they become less than what they are. And on the other side, devotees also say, oh, I want to be honest, I don't want to be dishonest, I don't want to be more renounced than what I am. And therefore, they indulge themselves more than really they should in sense enjoyment. And the reaction to that is not very good either. So these things should be done not just by the whim of one's mind, but as Madan Gopal said, by Shastra, by Guru, there's regulation in there, by Vaishnavas. So getting back to directly answering what Guru said here, the question was, how can one actually become disgusted with sense gratification? It depends very much what the particular medicine that one should take that's best for him should be prescribed by one's spiritual master. If one is very strong and fixed, and especially if one is strong and fixed and has a very deep, deep faith and is really surrendered, then whatever sanskaras, whatever impressions he has earlier in his life or previous lives can be overcome very easily. But if one is not that surrendered and strong and fixed like that, then his prescription is going to be different. If one is strong and fixed in that way by the strength of that intelligence, pure, that Krishna says this, my guru says this, never mind what my mind is saying. If one has that type of pure intelligence, then all he has to do is hear, and the realization will be there. Realization will be hearing, because it's already obvious. And if it's not obvious, you just have to read one newspaper or one Time magazine, not even two. Because all the people, or just go to the crematorium. You can see what the end of it all is. What's the use? But people aren't generally that fixed. So therefore they need a prescription, a mixture that's proper for them, that's practical for them. And that's done not by oneself, but by Guru Vaishnavas in conjunction with Sadhu. Yeah.
This part of the morning. I would like to understand, because there is, I don't know, which word, Prabhupada is asking, why part of the morning he was such a
why didn't he? And yeah, and that's what Devahuti said too.
Yeah, when Prabhupada is saying,
but how? What is the eligible? The question is how the Prabhupada said that Kaudama Muni wasn't eligible for liberation, so he asked the Lord for a wife. So, but what is the eligibility? That's the. What is the qualification that makes one eligible for liberation? What is the qualification, huh? But it's not. But the intelligence is something more. Only
by reading to Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing.
If one has that kind of purity.
This is the first class intelligence. One can realize that by hearing. But Krishna is giving the intelligence. So what is the eligibility to get this intelligence?
That's what I'm asking. Do you know what it is? It's sincerity and desire. If one's desire is enough, is powerful enough, everything will come from that. But that's very, very rare that one is so sincere and so pure. It's rare, actually. Otherwise, there would be no one in this world. Everyone would be... But that's really what it is. It's tatra loyam api mulam ekalam. Very deep, this is what I want, I desire this. But that comes, therefore Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that generally it takes many lives. But that doesn't mean that it has to take many lives. So if one says, understands that intelligence, if one's desire is strong enough, then even the intelligence will be given. Dadami buddhiyogam tam ambhajitam pratipurvakam. If one is so sincere like that, Then the question is how to increase our sincerity and our desire to love and serve Krishna. So I'm changing the question on that side. Huh? Oh, that's good. That's the question. How to increase our desire to be a devotee? How to increase our sincerity? Yes, you're going to answer. Good. Well, this is going to be good because not only can't you hear him, but he's not going to be able to hear you. How can we develop disgust for material desires? Whenever I had such material desires, subtly or consciously,
I always found that there were so many obstructions and difficulties that actually that I developed disgust for.
Found that there were so many hardships, so much misery came. Oh, I thought of another good one. Just get old. Just be patient, though. Be patient, it'll happen. Because you find cynical old people, but you don't find proud old people, really. The Prabhupada said, everything that one is proud of gets taken away. Even if you're very wealthy, even if you are very beautiful in your youth and powerful, it is all taken away. Old people, such a tendency, grotesqueness, no strength, and then you have wealth even, you have great wealth and power, and you have so many people surrounding you, and what are they all thinking? When is the old man going to die? And you know it. Disgust, you can't trust anyone. Everyone's just waiting for you to. You're dependent on people. People minimize you. When is this botheration going to end? Oh. One thing you can do is just. Yeah. So Maya is so strong though, whatever you try to do, she'll try to turn around. Go visit an old age home. Go visit a hospital. See what your future is. It's so heavy actually. But it's very hard to maintain the depth of that. From the negative like that, you cannot maintain of intelligence from the negative. There has to be the pull of the sweetness of the service and therefore of Radha and Krishna, of Vrindavan, of Mahaprabhu's mercy. And therefore we have to chant Hare Krishna because it's the easiest way. And as Prabhupada would say, it doesn't even cost anything and you can be anywhere. Just listen to the sound of Krishna's names.
Comment,
yes.
The people's food tastes sweet. People's food tastes sweet.
Yes.
People's, they don't need salt.
Yes.
Somebody tastes the Krishna's sweetness, then you don't need salt.
That's an excellent. And once you've started on sweets, you don't go backward to your salty preparations. Thank you. That's nice. More sweetness. More sweetness. But not I'm looking at you, but I'm trying to encourage myself. Don't worry. I'm not pushing you to eat sweets. Don't worry. We need more sweetness.
Sweet is just salty from salt.
The two rasas. Huh? And one other thing, if someone really thinks, oh, I have so many desires for enjoyment, but how can I give them up and disgusted with them? Well, one way is go ahead and try. try to enjoy. Go ahead. Good luck. Go ahead. Huh? That's your problem. But you want to enjoy, go ahead. That's what Prabhupada ultimately said to this one boy at 26 Second Avenue. He was rebellious. His name was Raphael. It's in Prabhupada Lilamrita. Prabhupada would tell him to chant, he wouldn't chant. Prabhupada would tell him to do this, he wouldn't do that. And finally, he said to Prabhupada, "My father was a boxer. I'm not meant to sit and chant on beads. I am meant to run on the beach and take deep breaths." And Prabhupada said, "Then do it! Now! Go ahead. You want to do it. If you think there's pleasure there, then do it." It's not that then you could say, "Oh, Prabhupada said I should go and enjoy myself." No, but if, okay, if you want to, because there's a saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You can't convince people who don't want to be convinced. So try. Okay, go ahead, try. It's another way. But it's hard to get out. So not really recommending that. But Krishna won't let go of you. Even if, not, I'm not really pointing at you. But Krishna won't let go of someone. He doesn't forget. One who has done some service, he won't forget. One who has expressed some sincerity, he won't forget. That's our hope, his mercy. Not our disgust or our abilities or our taste. We should do our part, but our hope is really his mercy. That's what I think. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to be described also. Kapila Muni is going to say that when one practices devotional service, automatically the subtle body, which is the carrier of all the calm and all the desires, is, does anyone know the word that Prabhupada used? Dissolved. Automatically, without separate endeavor. Okay, we'll end here. Monday. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kapila Muni ki jai, Devahuti Ma ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.